Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's really good. I like when you said it's kind of like we're walking parallel. He's on one side, I'm on the other. I like that. That was really good. Please take your Bibles. Open up to Ezekiel chapter 33. That was my my devotion this morning. It's funny. I'm having trouble finding it. I keep turning the pages too much. Amen. Ezekiel 33. I won't be. It's already 10 of. I won't be long. I'll go quick. But we have a few verses to look at. Ezekiel 33 is a chapter that talks about one thing in particular, and we're going to look at that. Are you there? We're going to read down from verse 1 to verse 12. It says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when ye see the sword come upon the land, you blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul." Do you hear what it just said? He said, "He that takes the warning will deliver his soul." Verse 6, "But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." You shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Verse 8, "When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I'll require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you shall deliver thy soul. Therefore, O son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how shall we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sins." I'll read one more verse. "When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he has committed, shall he die for it." I want to just quickly say about, he said, "Oh, son of man, I have made you a watchman. Your job is to warn the people. When you hear what I have to say, you go and warn them from me." And I want to talk to you about this watchman, because Ezekiel was made a watchman to the house of Israel. And he got done telling them and said, first of all, what does a watchman do? One of the things, the most important thing a watchman does is he watches. Makes sense, right? Where does he watch? Up on the high wall. And he looks out, has a far, and has a better view. I'll tell you right now, up here, I have a better view than you do. I can see every one of you as you can. I have a great view from up here, and it's not because I'm up high. It's because God has set me a watchman. He's set me as a watchman over you, but also over my family and over your family, over the people that we prayed for. He set me a watchman. And when you're a watchman, you can see things that other people can't see. Not only can you see things, you know things that other people don't know. You can tell when the enemy's coming, and even if they're a far way off. And my job, as his job was to do, is to warn the people. My job is a commandment of God, is I have to warn people. He says if you don't warn them and they get taken in their iniquity, their blood's on your hands. That's pretty important, powerful, important thing. Look in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 real quick. Then we're going to go to Hebrews 13. Ezekiel chapter 3, are you there? Look in verse 17. Oh, man, see, this Bible, I went too far again. Someone read it for me real loud, please. Ezekiel 3:17. I have made you a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning. Turn quickly to Hebrews chapter 13 with me. Hebrews chapter 13. What would you do if God made you a watchman? What would you do if God said, I've made you a watchman of your house? I've made you a watchman of your work. I've made you a watchman of your children. I made you a watchman over your family. I made you a watchman over your church. What would you do? And the truth of the matter is you've got to do what God says to do. Amen? And that's really all of us. We prayed about it tonight. We prayed about for our children and grandchildren and things that we... What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to win them? I'll tell you right now, this is what God tells us, to warn them. And that's one thing that I have not done to my friends and family members. Maybe I have once years ago, but I have not warned them, Barbara, like I need to warn them. You know why? Because I was always afraid that they would get upset or they would get mad. You know what I mean? And then I'd lose. God says, you're not doing your job because I need to warn the people that God has told me to warn. Look in chapter 13 with me in verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Look what it says. For they watch for your souls. As they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. Look over in verse 7. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Remember them. Here I am set as a watchman over the house of this house, God's house here. And my job is to warn people. When God tells me something, my job is to warn them. I'm here to tell you that sometimes you're going to get a warning. And I want to apologize and ask you to forgive me for the times I haven't warned you. Because I was afraid that you might run away. I was afraid that you'd get upset. I was afraid that you'd get mad. You know what I'm saying? And the truth of the matter is it happens all the time, doesn't it, hon? People get mad at me. And all I did was tell them one little thing. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even do my job and warn them about the real dangers. And so what is a watchman supposed to do? He's supposed to watch for the enemy. Can I get an amen to that? A watchman's supposed to watch for the enemy. He's supposed to watch for the enemy after our families. He's supposed to watch for the enemy after our wives. He's supposed to watch for the enemy after our husbands. Wives, you can tell when your husband is going astray. I don't mean cheating on you. You can tell when the one that you're closest to is not walking with the Lord. You can tell, just like everyone else can tell. You're supposed to be a watchman over your children. We're also supposed to be a watchman over our community, over our towns. You know, they have the neighborhood watch, right? I've never seen anyone actually watching, but I saw signs saying, we have a neighborhood watch. I've never seen anybody watching, but, you know, we're supposed to watch over our country as well. Our country's in big trouble. It really is. And what are we supposed to do? Warn. We're supposed to warn people. I want you to look with me if you would. First, we're going to do three things. We're going to watchman over the church. A watchman is supposed to look out for danger. Amen. Turn with me if you would to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. And then we're going to Acts chapter 20. Matthew 7. Look in verse 15 with me, please. Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in what? Sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. My job, your job, our job is to warn people about who? Other people. Yeah, because they're wolves in sheep's clothing. What does that mean to you when you hear that? You've all heard that expression. What does that mean to you? It means people that are acting like, trying to portray that they're good Christians, but inside they're there to do the work of the devil, to tear the church up. I'm here to tell you, do not let the wolves come into this church. Do not let them. If you hear somebody saying something out in the kitchen, out in the hallway, outside about the church, tell them straight up. Say, I don't want to hear it. Don't talk that way. You go on your way. I don't want to hear you talking bad about our church. You know why? Because, and I'm not saying that's happening, but it does happen all the time. I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 says this. Are you there? Look in verse 29. It says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. I just want you to realize that Apostle Paul, Peter, all of them, all talked about wolves in sheep's clothing. So I just want, as a warning, we have to be careful. We have to be careful. We have to follow the Lord. We have to follow the Word of God. We have to follow the Holy Spirit and not follow what other people try to lead us to do. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Say amen when you're there. Look in verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8 says, be sober, be vigilant. You know that comes from the word vigilante. I mean, a vigilante is out trying to do justice on his own, out trying to stop bad guys on his own. But it says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, who is it? The devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, are these just words or are they truth? So are you going to start looking out for the devil? You need to, right, John? Right, everybody? We have to start looking out. Beware, you are out. Not only am I a watchman here, but you're a watchman there. You're a watchman in the seat. You're a watchman at your home. You are called by God because you are now a child of God as a watchman in your home, as a watchman in your family, as a watchman. And your job as a watchman is to warn. Warn them about what? The devil. Because the devil's real. Yeah, amen. The devil's real. Do you know how many people can say by saying amen, God is real? Amen. Heaven's real. Amen. The devil's real. Amen. Hell's real. Amen. Jesus is real. Amen. And he's really the only Savior. Amen. It's pretty simple when you look at it that way. You talk to somebody, say, listen, you believe in God? Yeah. Well, heaven's real. And they all like that. God in heaven, yeah. They say, well, if God in heaven's real, the devil's real too, and so is hell. And the devil lies to you, and there's only one way out, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me, if you would. I want you to look for something else. First, you warn the church, and you warn your family about the devil, because that's really who it is. You remember the old Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. It was a joke. And the devil isn't making you do it. The devil wants to destroy your marriage. The devil wants to destroy your family. The devil wants to destroy your children. The devil wants to destroy you. And sometimes how he does it is by giving you stuff. I'll never forget the story. And my wife and I, a long time ago, back in the 90s, true story, I had my own roofing business. I was doing a roof at a store. I went in and bought a Snickers bar. And I bought the Snickers bar, and the guys were up on the roof working. I was in her car, which I'm never, ever in her car. I'm always in my truck. But they needed the truck for something. So I was in her car, and I'm just sitting there, and I eat the Snickers bar, and I opened the wrapper all the way up. So you read it, and it was a contest. And it said, you win $2 million. And it said in the contest, I read every word. It said, if Jerome Bettis is the MVP, then you will win $2 million. Well, I'm thinking Jerome Bettis is on Pittsburgh Steelers. He's the running back for Pittsburgh. I like him all, but then Pittsburgh would have to win the Super Bowl, and he would have to be voted MVP. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. So what's the odds of that? So that was a Friday. That Sunday, I went to church like I always do. I came home from church, and as I'm taking my suit off, the Eagles are on, and I put the Eagles on like I always did, and I saw the part of a commercial that said, the Snickers Bar Award, if you have Jerome Bettis, you won $2 million. And I had Jerome Bettis on my car. And I'm like, nah. I must have heard that wrong. So now a whole week goes by. And that one week, I tore a roof off. And I'm telling you, I never used my wife's car. That was the first. And I never used my truck, my good truck, to put roofing trash from the roof in the back of it. But we happened to be doing a job in Swarthmore, and we needed more. So I said, all right, go ahead, use my truck. So they all used my truck to throw the trash. They took my truck to the dump, right? And which would have never happened. So anyway, make a long story short, now Sunday comes rolling again. I go to church. I come back. I'm taking my suit off, watching the TV. And I see the whole commercial. And the whole commercial is, if you have Jerome Bettis, there's only one, you've won $2 million. And I'm like, you're kidding. I had Jerome Bettis. I read it for like 15 minutes. I know Jerome Bettis is. I'm like, you're kidding. You're kidding, right? So what I do, I ran directly into her car to try to find the wrapper. And what she told me, she said, I cleaned my car out. I put the stuff in one of them little plastic bags you get at the store, and I threw it in the back of your truck. I said, great. I ran to the back of my truck. My truck's all swept and cleaned out. They took it to the dump. First time ever. It's never happened before. I had the winning number. I had the winning person. We would have had $2 million. And so, you know, that makes you think a little bit. So I started thinking, Lord, why? And all I can come up with, this Holy Spirit told me, is that it would have ruined your marriage. That money would have ruined your marriage. And you think about it, and you think, well, you know, when you get $2 million, things change. The wife wants to go to Florida. You want to go to the mountains, you know what I mean? She wants to buy a new home. You don't want to buy, you know, stuff like that. And when I look back at it now, at the first it bothered me. When I look back at it now, what is your marriage worth? And the devil will give you $2 million to ruin your marriage. The devil will give you a new job. The devil will give you all kinds of stuff just to ruin your marriage, ruin your children, ruin your lives. So we've got to beware of how the devil that he's seeking to whom he may devour. Look at me in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16 in verse 3. Says this, it says, oh, in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. One of the things we're supposed to be a watchman for is the sign of the times. We are supposed to not only watch for the devil, we're supposed to be watching for the signs of the times. Can I get an amen? We're supposed to know, because we have been taught by God himself to look for this and look for this. And when this happens and when that happens, right, Cindy, you've heard it for how long in your life? And when that, and guess what? I'm here to tell you right now, it's happening. It's happening. Jesus said, oh, you hypocrites, you can tell when summer's coming and when winter's coming and when this is coming, but you cannot tell the signs of the times. You know what we need to do? We need to warn people. We need to warn people that it is really getting close. The mark of the beast is real, and when whoever gets the mark of the beast on their forehead, on their hand or their forehead, is damning their souls to hell forever. They can never get out of it. You're done. You take the mark of the beast. And we are being trained right now to do what the government tells us to do. We're being trained. Do you understand? That isn't the mark yet, but they're training us. You could put it this way. What if, and this isn't happening, what if the vaccination they give you left a mark? And that was how they could tell if you got one or not. No, but what are they saying? They're saying you're going to have to get a little card that tells you you were vaccinated to be able to get on a plane, to be able to go to a movie theater, to be able to this. And what does the Bible say? That that mark, without it, you won't be able to buy anything. You won't be able to sell anything. You won't be doing. I'm telling you, it's setting it up. It's getting so close. It's scary. And that's why certain people are against the vaccination. Not because they're against vaccinations, But because of the way this all transpired, with a crazy virus no one knew about, yeah, right, it was manufactured. And they're orchestrating everything, and it's coming all the way down to those that have that mark and those that don't have that mark. I'm telling you what, we need to really take heed, because what's coming next is not going to be good. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Say amen when you're there. We are supposed to warn, be a watchman for the enemy that's outside. We are supposed to be a watchman for our church as well, for a watchman for the signs of the times. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all," look what he says, "and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." I'm not saying the vaccination is a mark of the devil. I'm not saying that it is bad, but I certainly don't know if it is or isn't. I don't. I don't have a clue if it's good, bad, or otherwise. I don't know. And if you want to take it, you go ahead and take it. I'm saying I don't know. All I know is that everything in me is telling me something's up. Everything in me is saying this isn't right. Something's up. I don't like it. I feel uncomfortable about it. And it's making me want to be a watchman and start warning people. But it's hard to tell them to warn about the devil when he's sneaking in and slithering in like a snake. But we've got to have our guard up, amen? We've got to know the signs of the times. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Mark chapter 13. I'm almost finished. Mark 13. Look in Mark 13, verse 33. Jesus said, "Take ye heed." What did he say to do? "Watch and pray, for you know not when the time is." You want to know what? The first thing we're supposed to watch is out for the devil. The second thing we're supposed to be watchmen is for the signs and the times. And the third thing that we're supposed to be, and there's many more. I'm just making it short as I can. And the third thing we're supposed to watch for is our master coming back. We're supposed to be watching for his return. That's all he kept telling us. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. I'm coming as a thief in the night. You better be watching. You better be praying. If Jesus continually over and over and over, Tony, said, "You better be watching and praying. I'm coming as a thief in the night." Do you think he meant it? You know what's going to happen, don't you? A lot of people aren't going to be watching. And look what he says here. Verse 33, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and committed to the porter to do what? Watch." We are the porters. We are the watchmen. We are the light of this earth. He said, "You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth." And what we're supposed to do is watch. We're supposed to warn. Look in verse 35 with me. Verse 35 says, "Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." And he goes on to say, "And what I say unto you, I say unto all." What's he say? Say it, church. Watch. Watch out. Because this is real. And we're getting close. And I'm here to tell you, I am going to start to tell you guys, when I see you drifting, when I see the devil circling your home, I'm just going to give you a warning. Don't get mad at me when I warn you. It's my job. Can I get an amen, please? And it's only because I care and I love. What is a shepherd supposed to do? Look out for the wolves. Let's finish up. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew 25. Matthew 25 is one of my favorite chapters. It just teaches me so much, but we're not going to get into all that. Matthew chapter 25, look in verse 23 with me. And the Lord, Matthew 25:13, he said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Watch. One, we're supposed to be watching for the devil. Can I ask you a question? Is it easier to see the devil in my life or in your life? It's easier to see the devil in other people's lives, right? But we have. What did he say? He said, "Before you try to help someone take a beam out of their eye, or it wasn't a beam. What was it? It was a what? My goodness, what? Is everyone saying it wasn't a speck? No. The beam is what's in your own eye. I just forget what he said. Moat. Thank you. It says when you try to take the moat out of your brother's eye, but you have a beam in your own eye." You know what he says? He didn't say, don't help your brother. He said, get your beam out of your eye first. Get there, and then you'll see clearly to help your brother and take it. So what it is, he didn't say help them. He just said, make sure you check yourself out first. Amen? Amen. Let's look with me, if you would, please, in Acts chapter 20. Almost finished. I know we were already there, but there's more to be seen. Acts chapter 20, look with me in verse 26 and 27. It says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day," look what he says, "that I am pure from the blood of all men." Apostle Paul said that. You know why? Because Apostle Paul was the one that would witness to anything, everybody. He wasn't afraid to tell everybody and warn everyone. And because he knew what it said in Ezekiel 33, he says, "I've made you a watchman. And if I tell you something and you don't warn them and they go off into hell, their blood's on your hands." That's pretty scary, isn't it? That's pretty scary to me anyway. So what God wants us to do is start just warn people. You know what happened? And there's a verse that says, "Warn them that are unruly." Do you know any of your children that are unruly? Drinking, drugging, playing with the devil, you need to warn them. You don't have to be mean, warn them. Because if you don't, who will? Amen? Look what it says in verse 31. It says, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone day and night with tears." It's a good way to warn people is with tears. Why? Because you love them, because you care about them. I believe this, and I believe more people would get saved, more people would listen if we started to actually let them know we really care so much. We care enough to warn them. We care enough to tell them because we love them with tears. They see you crying over what, because you know they're going, that the devil's got them. I think it might do something. I really do. They should see that you're serious because you believe what you say you believe. Amen? The last verse is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look with me, if you would, in verse 14. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren." What's he say to do? Warn them that are unruly. Now he gives us a little plan here. He tells us those that are unruly. You can think in your head what that would be. Partying, smoking, drinking, carousing. You know, that stuff's easy. You can warn them. It says, but also, what are we supposed to do? Comfort the feeble-minded. You know, I found more and more feeble-minded people this day and age than I ever have before. People are very, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, when I say feeble-minded, is they're a mess. They're so worried about everything. They're a mess. You ever meet people like that? Just a mess. And you feel for them, and you want to help them. But what does it say to do? It says, warn them that are unruly, comfort. Comfort them. So you warn people that are blatantly doing something wrong, but you comfort them that are really troubled and messed up. Because the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Last but not least, he says, support the weak, be patient toward all men. So when you warn, Be patient, because they're not going to listen to you at first. But still warn them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Do you love your children? Do you love your husband, wife? Do you love your mother, father, sister, brother? Do you love them? Then what should we do according to the word of God? Just two words. Ready? Warn them. That's all. Warn them. Because there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to lose. There is a devil that's deceiving and there is a God that's receiving. I'm just here to tell you, we need to just warn people. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for, you said, with much power comes much responsibility. And Lord, and I know the responsibility that we have, but giving the gospel to others is a great, great responsibility. And Lord, we just pray for our loved ones, the ones we love, as Ezekiel loved his people, and as David loved his, and as Jesus loved us, we need to love one another. And we need to love them enough to warn them. Just warn them that the devil's real. Warn them that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. To warn them to turn from their wicked way and God will receive them. Warn them that hell is hot and heaven is sweet. Warn them that they're loved, they're cared for, and this is all true. Help us to warn, I pray, not only our people that we love, but also our country. Help us to warn others that socialism and communism will destroy the freedoms that we have. That this country is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So I pray, Lord God, that the all would mean all. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for those who came tonight. Pray you'd take this word, apply it to our hearts, our minds. Help us think about it this tomorrow and the next week and just keep thinking about it. Help us to warn one another that are unruly with tears. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.